You're listening to West Virginia Morning. I'm John Cantese. West Virginia will join a short list of states that allow people to carry concealed weapons without a permit now that lawmakers have voted to override Governor Tomlin's veto of the bill, Ashton Maher reports.
Members of the state Senate voted 23-11 Saturday morning, joining the House of Delegates in a vote to override Governor Tomlin's veto of the permitless carry bill. It takes only a simple majority of lawmakers to reverse the governor's veto. Tomlin pointed to the concerns of law enforcement Thursday as he signed his veto message publicly. Police from across the state have said the bill will allow drug dealers and violent offenders to more easily get away with crimes. Members of the Republican majority argued in the Senate that the bill would actually be a deterrent to crime. When House Bill 4145 takes effect in May, anyone who is already allowed to open carry in West Virginia will also be allowed to carry a deadly weapon concealed, including a firearm and other weapons like knives or brass knuckles. The bill puts a provisional licensing process in place for 18 to 20-year-olds and also increases the penalties for people who carry concealed unlawfully or who use a gun while committing another crime. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
A House committee has passed a bill that would require drug testing for recipients of temporary assistance for needy families. Liz McCormick has the story.
Senate Bill 6 requires the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources to apply for permission from the federal government to begin a drug screening and testing program. In that program, applicants of Temporary Assistance for Needy Families or TANF benefits could be tested if there's reasonable suspicion those applicants are using drugs or if they've been convicted of a drug crime in the past 5 years. But House Judiciary Chairman John Schott said that provision was amended in his committee.
And that was with regard to the screening instrument that the Department of Health and Human Resources will be using when new applicants come in. And it just changed the time frame within which to look for previous drug use from 5 years to shorten that to 3 years.
A recent poll of likely West Virginia voters found 77% of voters supported drug testing welfare recipients. Senate Bill 6 was reported to the full House on Saturday and will likely see a vote Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Charleston.
A bill named after former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow is making its way through the West Virginia legislature. The bill would allow homeschooled students in the state to participate in public school athletics in the same way Tebow did during his high school years in Florida. Rob Engel met with one student athlete from Winfield who hopes the bill can make it to a vote by Saturday, the final day of the regular legislative session.
I've been playing baseball since I was 7. I always loved sports. And baseball is just the one I went to. It's always my favorite.
Bryson French is 15 years old and a native of Winfield, West Virginia. Just a short drive from Bryson's hometown, lawmakers in Charleston are considering a bill that could have a big impact on this teen's future. Senate Bill 105, otherwise known as the Tebow Bill. Bryson is homeschooled by his parents, Alan and Jenny. The bill would allow him and other homeschooled students to play sports at local public schools, schools that are members of the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activity Commission. The bill is named after Heisman Trophy winner and former NFL quarterback Tim Tebow. Tebow, who grew up in Florida, was homeschooled, but played football for a local high school thanks to a similar bill in his state. Bryson also has lofty ambitions for his baseball career.
But I think the dedication and working hard, I gradually got better and better. I plan on taking it as far as I can go, and definitely into college.
But without the bill, Bryson cannot participate in state-sanctioned sports like a teen who attends public school. That means if Bryson wants to play baseball at his age, he can only play in summer travel leagues. Bryson says he misses out on the spring baseball season a typical high school student participates in, putting him a step behind in his summer league.
Well, right now, where I play for my travel team, we play 30 to 40 games every season. And all my teammates are playing another additional 20 to 30, maybe 40 games with their school teams. So I'm missing out on half the season that they get to do. So the Tebow bill would give me the ability to just play more games. And that would be a true advantage or get me up to speed with the rest of them.
If the Tebow bill were to pass, Bryson would go to Winfield High School to play baseball. Right now, the bill says that homeschooled students would play for the public school district in which they live, but could not go outside of that district if the school does not offer their sport. However, opponents argue the bill is unfair, prioritizing the needs of homeschoolers above those actually enrolled in public schools. Bernie Dolan is the executive director for the West Virginia Secondary Schools Activity Commission, the body that oversees high school athletics.
Currently, as the bill is written right now, homeschool students or students at non-member private or parochial schools could participate in athletics at our member schools, which they are not enrolled in. And that's our biggest concern is, we just feel that our number one rule is if you're going to participate for a particular school, that you should be enrolled in that school.
But Bryson's dad, Alan, says his decision to homeschool his four children should not prevent them from participating in athletics, especially in a district where he pays taxes to support the schools.
I think my thoughts to the legislators would be that this is a bill that is providing equal access to students. Having fully understood that we did not enroll our children in the school system, it is still a public opportunity that's given to students to be able to play these sports or do these other activities. We are full members of this community, but we are being denied the possibility of him participating with other children his age in those sports simply because we've chosen an alternative route of education for him.
According to the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, nearly 30 states either allow homeschoolers to participate in sports or allow the school districts to decide. However, in a state like West Virginia, where school districts are laying off teachers due to declining revenues and shrinking student populations, WVSSAC's Dolan notes that the bill may also cause a funding issue.
Schools get money from the state based on enrollment. So we would be paying for students who you're not getting reimbursement from the school, okay. From the state.
Alan, however, disagrees.
What is the price difference between putting one or two children on a team as to not having them on the team? The coaches are still paid the same amount, the athletic directors, trainers, everyone's still paid the same amount. Uniform rental maybe a little bit of equipment charges. So there's not really an economic problem to this. There's no reason that they couldn't amend that so that if we have a couple students playing from home schools, there's extra funding given for those students to the schools.
There are other concerns about the bill as well, like how GPA and attendance eligibility requirements for athletics would translate for homeschooled students. Though Allen says these issues could easily be resolved following the lead of another state that allows homeschoolers to play sports, Dolan says the position of the SSAC is firm.
The way it's written now, I really don't see any way for it to be adapted to satisfy the membership.
The Tebow bill has already passed through the Senate and is moved to the House. If enacted into law, Dolan says the SSAC would have to see what shape the bill is in before figuring out how to implement it. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Rob Engel in Winfield.
You're listening to West Virginia Morning. The time is 7:52. Today is going to be partly sunny with highs in the 60s, whereas tonight's going to get a little cloudier with lows down in the 30s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the Covenant House, presenting Chef's Challenge, 7 chefs, 5 courses, 1 cause. April 5th at the Charleston Civic Center, eradicating hunger and creating well-being in our community. More at wvcovenanthouse.org.
Since officially opening in October of 2014, Lily's Place has cared for 91 babies with neonatal syndromes. Clark Davis has the story.
Babies arrive at the facility on 7th Avenue in Huntington suffering from different levels of withdrawal involved in neonatal abstinence syndrome.
They tremor a lot, uncontrollably. They can't rest well between their feedings. Sometimes they can't even take a bottle very well because they're so overstimulated. There's lots of stomach issues involved where they just cry with abdominal pain. And, there's the loose stools, the effects of that, which sometimes causes their skin to break down.
That's Rhonda Edmonds. She's the director of nursing at Lily's Place. Babies born with NAS are born addicted to drugs and alcohol. Lily's Place, working with Cabell Huntington Hospital in Huntington, takes in the babies for extended care so hospital neonatal intensive care units can make room for babies born with other sicknesses. Lily's Place can house up to 12 babies at a time. All of their symptoms cause these babies to have to be treated differently. There are widely accepted traditions for how to soothe a baby. Those, Edmund says, don't work in these situations.
Instinctively, when a baby is fussing, then we're bouncing them. But they don't like that because their nervous system is just so overstimulated. So they like to just be swaddled. They like to be swayed back and forth. And head-to-toe movements is very calming to them. And it's amazing how the difference that it can make.
When babies come to the facility, they are set up with Child Protective Services to ensure that the family and the mother make efforts to become clean so they can take care of the baby. In the 2014 legislative session, House Bill 2999 was passed and enacted that gives a separate designation for NAS centers, making it easier for other communities around the state to establish centers. At the federal level, Congressman Evan Jenkins is sponsoring the CRADLE Act. The hope is to pass legislation that will make it easier for communities around the country to create similar facilities like Lily's Place. At this time, the CRADLE Act is in the Energy and Commerce Committee in Congress and currently has 33 co-sponsors.
It basically directs our federal health officials to proactively craft a licensure regulatory structure so other facilities around the country want to be established. They will not have to go through the administrative hassles.
In 2013, 108 of every 1,000 babies born in Huntington were diagnosed with NAS. Statewide, the number was 37 of every 1,000 babies, which was 5 times the national rate of 7 out of every 1,000 babies. Jenkins says these facilities are needed all over the state.
NAS babies are not limited to Huntington. I have held meetings at Raleigh General in Raleigh County with both hospitals in Mercer County. I've been to Greenbrier County. I've been to virtually every hospital in the 3rd Congressional District, and everyone indicates a significant increase in the number of babies born with NAS.
Rebecca Crowder is the executive director of the facility. She says there are still problems they are trying to overcome, such as the inability to accept babies and families from nearby Ohio and Kentucky, which make up some of the babies born with neonatal abstinence syndrome at Cabell Huntington Hospital. She says their ultimate goal is to offer help to the mothers that are dealing with addiction problems.
So our goal is to create a place where these mothers can get the treatment they need, but also have that transition into a living situation where their child can join them during this process. And we can teach them not just the coping skills, but the basic living skills they need to be able to go out there and be successful in a career path and as a parent.
Babies stay at the facility anywhere from 2 weeks to 2 months, where they help them deal with the addiction they're born with. Rhonda Edmonds says if the babies are there very long at all, they become attached. She says it can be both happy and a sad situation when they leave.
It's very rewarding to see that you've helped this baby through the process and now they're ready to go home. It's very encouraging if the parents have been really involved and are doing well with learning how to care for the baby, doing well in their treatment program themselves. Sometimes, you know, it's sad if you see that that family really doesn't have the resources as far as the support system that they need.
Lily's Place hopes to expand from 12 beds to 16 beds sometime this summer. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Clark Davis.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with all of the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. And we're interested in your comments, so make sure you send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. And you can follow us on Twitter @WVPublicNews and find us on Facebook. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting's news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. And I'm John Cantese. Have a good morning.